Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
President of Baseball Operations and General Manager of our Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, joining us here in the locker room on The Fan. Alex, thank you for joining us. Congratulations this morning.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be on.
Tell us about the two things that look like they're better this year than they are last year. Maturity as far as batting approach and experience, now that a lot of the young Braves have spent a lot of postseason time so far here the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that jumps out is the rotation. And obviously just adding Charlie to the top and sliding everybody down instead of going Max and Ian and trying to piece the rest together like we did last year. Now you have Ian going game three, and obviously the experience he got a year ago was huge for him. And even Max as well, last year was the first time he had been starting games for us. In 2019, he was going to be in the rotation, but Martin got hurt and he came out of the bullpen, so we never saw him start games. So, you know, for me, I think the main thing is ultimately the rotation. Look, from an offensive standpoint, we had a great offense a year ago, but you know, when it comes to the playoffs, it's just hard to count on scoring runs. And I know since I've been in Atlanta, at least going into last year, all I'd heard about was Braves, when they've made the postseason, they don't ever advance. They've never won a series. And finally, last year we did, which is obviously great. But I think the biggest change from 2018, 2019 is that we pitched really, really well.
Alex, obviously going back middle of the year, the team's really struggling with injuries and hovering around the 500 mark. What was your mindset getting into the trade deadline? Was there a number as far as games back where you were going to be buyers? Or was it all along, hey, I think I could go get some value and add it to this team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really view it that way. And I know there was a lot of talk about, oh, we're going to sell or we should be selling or even going into trade. Look, and I realized we weren't playing well. I'm a big run differential guy. I know it's not the end-all be-all, but I think it's a pretty good indicator. And our run differential relative to the division was still pretty strong. We ended up with the third-best run differential in the NL behind LA and the Giants. So does that mean we're the third-best team? Not ideally. I guess that you can't necessarily say that, but I think it's fair if you want to make that type of argument. I certainly would object to it. So, look, there was things that were, obviously there's a million things that were going wrong. We had players that were really good players that started off cold, which hurt as well. So there was no scenario, even in that two-week period, you know, we were playing Tampa and the Brewers and the Mets and the Phillies, even if we had played poorly, it was still 2 months of the year left, and I knew if we could just get to the trade deadline, teams would start to sell and start to make players available. So I think one thing that we lose sight of is that 2 months of the season is a long time. That's a lot of games. And you know that when the trade deadline comes, there will be a lot of teams that just sell and punt on the year, and they're going to get worse. And you can improve your team quite a lot. So I would have really had to have felt like we just had a terrible team across the board, but we knew Anoa was going to be back. We knew Darno was going to be back. We knew Ian Anderson was going to be back. And we knew guys like Freeman, Swanson, and so on. You know, their stats and their numbers were going to ultimately climb. So there was a lot of upside to our club. Look, we obviously needed to get help. But I still felt like we had a chance to have a pretty solid team.
Was there, Alex, was there a point in the season? I don't know. You guys are sitting around 500 for a lot of the early part of the season. And then you guys start doing the things you're doing. Was there one surprising player or moment or situation over the course of the year that jumps out at you that got you guys to where you are today?
Wow. You know what? I don't know that it's I'm trying to think, like, off the top of my head, is there one player that really jumps out? No, you know what? I mean, look, I know it's been talked about a lot, but you know, the outcomes of the guys that we got at the trade deadline, we thought they had upside and they had ability and they were capable of playing well, and there was a lot of indicators that these guys were capable of playing well, but they all played so well, and they all played so well at the right time, and there was just balance and depth. And even Rodriguez for us, the month of September, he did not throw the ball well, but the month of August, he was huge for us. You guys remember that Cardinals series?
Yep.
Snit would bring him in early, get out of some big jams. He ended up with a 3 ERA with us, but at the end, obviously, he wasn't throwing the ball well, but that month of August, he was huge. So, you know, it obviously came down to the wire that last week was, a huge week for us as well. But you know, I don't know that any one player really jumps out. Obviously, we've had a lot of great years from guys, but you can go through the whole year. And even when guys like Tukey and Muller, when Anderson got hurt, that two-week period leading up to the end of July, what they did for us was really important as well, even though they did end up hitting the wall as well when we got to the month of August.
Alex, we've been talking about looking ahead to the NLCS, and would you rather see the Dodgers or the Giants? Would you rather have home field advantage and play the Dodgers, or would you rather go on the road and what we think is a little bit more of a favorable matchup in the Giants? How do you view that?
Yeah, so I'd love to be honest about my answer, but if I do, it'll end up online, and I'll probably hear about it. So what I will tell you is this, this I have no problem saying. I'm hoping they go 20 innings tonight. So that's pretty much it. I hope they're gassed. I hope they use their bullpens. I'm friends with both guys, both GMs. I work with them. They're really good friends. I mean, obviously, the two of them are playing each other. So it's kind of cool that in the NL, the three of us worked together a few years ago, and all three of our teams are still that's around. Crazy. In fairness, we obviously, both teams are tough. There's advantages to home field. We played Giants tough at the end. It's going to be tough no matter who we play. And if you're trying to win the whole thing, you're trying to win the World Series, you look at the teams left in the AL, you're going to have to beat these good teams regardless. So I think you don't even tempt fate, but I think, you know, the one thing is that I like the fact that for both teams, it's going to be all hands on deck tonight. Hopefully it goes long. Hopefully they need to use all their guys, and they only have one day of rest.
President of Baseball Operations and General Manager for your Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, joining us here in the locker room.
Alex, how involved are you in the day-to-day lineup or the pitching rotation, or do you leave that totally up to Manager Brian Snicker?
I don't. So I'd say this. Obviously, Snit, at the end of the day, I've said this before, when it comes to the lineup and so on, he has that call. I do not ever want a player who has an issue with what he's hitting in the lineup or playing time coming to knock on Snit's door, and he has a complaint, and Snit says, look, don't come to me. Go upstairs. This is Alex. You know, like, I don't want to do that. One, that's not my responsibility. If I do that, I shouldn't have him doing his job. So he needs to have the authority and the power to make those decisions. Those guys down in that clubhouse need to know he has the ultimate hammer to make those calls. So when it comes to the playoffs and so on, look, we have meetings. We talk about things. That's with front office, all the coaches, and so on. We have a lot of information. We walk through things. We walk through scenarios and so on. But I always tell Snit this. I said, as much as we may talk about things and ideas, scenarios, thoughts, there's times he might ask my opinion. He might call me and say, hey, this is my thought here. What do you think? He just wants to bounce ideas off, which I do the same thing as a GM if I'm trying to acquire a player, trade for a player. But I always tell him, when you get to the game, when it comes time to make whatever decision you want to make, you're the one who has to go stand up at the podium at the end of the game. You're the one who has to deal with the players. So you ultimately have to do what you believe in and what you think is right. It's like preparing for an exam. You study, you prepare. But at that point, you have to watch the game, observe the game, and you have to adjust as things are going along.
How does that bolster your relationship with Snit when the decisions you make prove to be right? When you get Josh Donaldson and he pays off, but then it's time to move on and it benefits the Braves because of that decision, or you start off with Pablo Sandoval, it's time to move on, Jock Peterson comes in. When your decisions certainly prove to be right, how does that bolster your decisions all the time and going into the next season when you two can be on the same page and hit on players that are able to help the Braves win?
I think the big thing with those relationships is trust. You need trust on both sides. Like, the worst thing that can happen is Snit's down there and he doesn't like the GM and this guy's killing me and he's driving me crazy and I'm going in there. The same way my boss is Terry McGuirk. I don't want him coming into my office each day and why did you sign so-and-so and why did you make, you know, because I'm not going to bat 1,000. Plenty of mistakes that I've made since I've been here, they're going to continue to happen. Hopefully I get more right than wrong. But I think it comes down to trust and at the end of the day, making sure everyone feels like they're a part of it. So when we're trying to sign guys or talking about guys, I call Snit in the offseason. And if I have concerns about how someone might fit, the clubhouse, how we would use a player, even when we start to set the roster for the playoffs, I may have thoughts on who should be on or shouldn't be on, but it always comes down to the same question. Snit, are you going to use this player? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I might think so-and-so is great, but if Snit's like, look, I just don't feel comfortable. I'm not going to use that player. I don't see a scenario that I'm going to take this guy out and put so-and-so in or so-and-so reliever, then you know what? It's irrelevant what I think at that point. Now, at the end of the day, I'd say 9 times out of 10, we're going to end up at the same place. We're going to talk through it, and we're aligned. But I think it's just trust, and I think he has trust in me, and he knows I'm not going to get it all right. And there have been times where I've told him, hey, man, I made a mistake on so-and-so player. I wish I would have given you more. But, you know, to his credit, he rolls with whatever he has, and he understands. I'm not going to get them all right, but I think that's just part of understanding. I think he respects and understands my job, and I certainly feel like I do the same with his.
Alex, while last year's NLCS obviously was a great run, there were no fans here. Obviously, what we saw in the NLDS was fantastic here at Truist Park. What can Braves fans expect? More watch parties, all of that good stuff as we move into the CS?
Yeah, so you know what? I didn't consider this. We're just obviously having some meetings here, and I didn't realize that Atlanta has not had an NLCS game in 20 years. 2001 was the last time Atlanta. And I always view the Braves, and maybe it's just from being the outside, just ton of success, 14 divisions in a row, World Series. You just view the organization as an organization that's had repeated a ton amount of success. So for Atlanta to not have experienced getting past the first round in Atlanta, obviously we did it last year, but to be in Atlanta, for them to experience it, it's going to be awesome. I know that the crowds, I know the players are very excited. They're very grateful as well when the fans come out and they show it. And I can tell you guys the other component too is when I go talk to free agents, and you know, I'm talking agents or I meet with players in the offseason to sign them, I get comments like, wow, I watch you guys on TV. The fans look amazing. The stadium looks great. I had players tell me how awesome the Acuna Grand Slam was and the reaction of the fans. And look, does that ultimately mean they're going to sign for a lot less dollars? No. But I do think when it gets close and you're trying to get a player over the edge, that's part of the appeal. So I know it sounds a little bit corny, but the fan base and the reaction and just the community and everything else, I think it's huge. So hopefully, and I would expect the fans to be out and be loud the way they have, it helps. It helps us on the field. It helps us in the offseason as well.
Do you think your transparency also helps with the relationship with the team and the fans? If you come on as crusty general manager and you don't want to tell anybody anything, you do a great job, I think, of going to the line without going over the line. Do you think that kind of relationship with the fans is helpful as well?
You know what? I guess I don't. I never thought about it that way. I guess I just view it as I have to do the job the way I feel comfortable doing the job. But at the same time, I get it. Look, I love the other sports teams in Atlanta. That's where I get to be a fan. I get to bring my son to games and so on, the Falcons and the Hawks and so on. So I want to read all the rumors, all the gossip. I want to hear it. I love it when stuff leaks. Now, if you work for a team, I hate it. And because ultimately it makes my job a lot harder. So I know it's tough at times. I know we're pretty tight-lipped. And I wish I could be more transparent, but I ultimately feel like that's going to lead to the best decisions for the club. And if that leads to more wins, the fans will be happy in the long run. So is it ideal if you're a fan and you want everything to get out there and you want to know about every trade rumor and so on? But, you know, if we're trying to sign Josh Donaldson, it's out there for 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. I can tell you this. I think other teams in the NL East or other teams will probably be trying to jump in on that deal or maybe run interference and so on. And maybe we don't sign the player. So I've seen that occur over the years. So, I mean, from my standpoint, I try to be as transparent as I can while also making sure that it's not impacting my ability to do the job.
Alex, I have to ask the obligatory Freddie Freeman question. As he hits the home run in the eighth to move you to the NLCS, did you realize there's an extra 5 or a 3 or 7 that may have to go on that deal somewhere?
Oh, trust me, I got all kinds of texts. I had one of our assistants sent me, I guess there was something on MLB Network where they had a Brinks truck and they had my face on the screen or whatever. And look, it's a great problem to have, and I'm elated. I hope he hits another 20 home. You know, from that standpoint, I want to win games, and I'm certainly excited. But and there's never – I understand I'm going to get asked that question. Until he signed or he's here, that's going to come up, right? So and it's been the same deal that I've said the entire time. He's been very clear, and he's very sincere about it. He wants to be here. There's no doubt about it. He wants to be here. This is his first choice. We certainly want to keep him here. He fits our team in every way going forward with our core and so on. That being said, he's an elite player. Those deals are big deals. 9 times out of 10, those deals take some time. But there's plenty of examples of players that have kind of gone through this. And at the end of the day, they end up back with their club. So, you know, I can't sit here and guarantee that, obviously, because if I could, he would be signed today. But I would tell you that the fact that we want him, he is an ideal fit. He has across the board, and he wants to stay. It's an incredibly good place to be.
Well, we thank you for your time. The Braves are in an incredibly good place to be. The city is fired up. It's a fun team. It's a balanced team. It's a gritty team as well that scraps to the end. So it's a team that everybody can be proud of, and we'll all just be sitting around waiting to see if we'll be at home or on the road on Saturday.
All right, guys. I hope it's a late night.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.